I often find that in myself, and I suspect in many people, the concept of sacrifices is a little foreign to us. What I mean by that is the concept of like sacrificing animals, things of that nature. That somehow doesn't fit into our categories of how we look at religion in our time. And yet, in the ancient religions, whether they were Jewish or non-Jewish, that concept of offering sacrifice to the gods was a very prominent theme. In the Jewish religion, it was also very, very important. It wasn't really at the center of their worship, the offering of animal sacrifice. If we're going to understand our own Catholic faith, then it's necessary that we have at least some concept of that idea of sacrifice. Especially helpful to understand the second reading of today's Mass. The Jews had a feast called the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies. That was the part of the temple set aside where in ancient times the Ark of the Covenant, the container that contained the Ten Commandments, the stones that Moses had received. That is where that container was placed. It was the holiest part of the temple. No one could enter it, only the high priest, and only one time a year. But on the Day of the Atonement, he would enter into that Holy of Holies. And he would take with him the blood of a young bull and the blood of a goat. The blood of the young bull he would offer to God in atonement for his sins and the sins of his family. The blood of the goat was in atonement for the sins of the people. Now, in the second reading today, it says Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one, but heaven itself. And then a little later it says he didn't go in with blood of an animal, but he says blood, but it was with his own blood. What it's trying to say there is Jesus made atonement for our sins, but he didn't do it by entering into that stone building. He did it by entering into heaven itself, into the very presence of God. And he brought with him not the blood of goats and bulls, but he brought with him his own blood. He offered his own blood as a sacrifice for our sins. And since he gave of his very self, the letter to the Hebrews says, he does not need to repeat that offering every year, over and over and over again. But he died once so that all people might be free of their sins. Now, at the end of that reading, it says he will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. Brings out that very strong belief we have that Christ, who died for us, who rose, and who ascended to the Father, will someday return again. But this time, he will return not to die again, but to gather to himself all who believe in him, all who long for his coming. And he will gather us together. Hopefully, we'll be a part of that. He will gather us together to bring us into the heavenly kingdom, into the, in a sense, before the throne of our God. Now, when we gather for Eucharist, we gather, first of all, to thank God for what He has done for us through Jesus, His Son. And we gather frequently because we need to keep that sense of gratitude. We need to keep that sense that had He not died for us, had He not risen to new life, our hope of eternal salvation would be gone. But since He died and rose, since He gave Himself for us, we have the hope of everlasting life. And that's why you'll notice in the Mass, there's a real focus on the sense of thanksgiving. Thanking God for what He has done for us through Jesus, His Son. But if you go on and look more closely at the language of the Mass, you'll notice something else. That concept of sacrifice. We believe that as we gather for Eucharist, we are somehow in the very presence of Jesus Christ as He offers Himself to the Father for our sins. Somehow time and space is done away with. And we are, in a sense, gathered around the cross at Calvary, offering to the Father that great sacrifice of Jesus, His Son. Saying to the Father, remember what He did, has done for us. But we're also there to unite ourselves to Him. To take our lives, our sacrifices, our sufferings, our joys, our sorrows, our works, all of that. And to unite those to the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because we are members of His body, St. Paul teaches us. And so, what we do in a sense is what He does. We offer ourselves to Him. We come together with Him and offer our lives, our sacrifices to the Father in union with Him. So that the Father will receive us as He receives His Son. And then we also gather here for another reason. To be nourished. To deepen that unity with Christ Jesus. Through the Word of Scripture and through the sacrament of His body and blood, we come here to be more deeply, more fully united to Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that we can share more fully in the salvation that He won for us. Going back to the letter to the Hebrews, I was caught by that line, those who eagerly await Him. If you think about it for a moment, you remember how often in the Gospels, Jesus tells a story that somehow talks about being ready, being prepared. You know, the stories of the man who goes off to a wedding feast and comes home and finds his servants ready. He wants us always to be ready so that when He comes, we won't be lost in other things, but we'll be eagerly awaiting Him, yearning to be gathered to Him. That's what our lives as Christians are to be about, waiting for the day that He gathers us to the Father in heaven. The first reading at Mass today and the third reading, the Gospel reading, give us the example of two widow women. And what stood out for me about them is their trust. That first reading, the woman who had hardly any flour or oil left. She wasn't even Jewish. And yet at the word of the prophet, she trusted that her jar would not run empty. The Gospel reading. That widow had very little to live on. And yet Jesus said, she gave all she had, trusting that God would care for her. Somehow that attitude of trust is what is so important for us. Can we trust that if we live in eager longing for the day that Christ will come again, God will care for us. God will raise us to new life. God will give us a life that will never end. It is that trust that is called for. And if we trust deeply in that, we won't get lost in the things that will distract us from our Lord and Savior. But we will set our hopes entirely on Him.